This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roswell County Historical Society. Last week I read from Marcella Eklund Woidke's story of her mother's family. Her mother was Emily Nelson Erickson, and Emily's parents, Arne and Matilda Nelson, were born in Norway and emigrated to the U.S. and then settled in Roswell County and were married in 1901. Arne had a son named Campbell Nelson by his first wife, who had died a few months after the baby's birth, and Campbell came to live with his father and stepmother when they were married and settled in the Duxby area of Roswell County. I'll continue reading from Marcella's story now. The area surrounding their new home was all wilderness with tall swamp grass, up to 5 feet high, and some brush with lots of wild animals scurrying about. The home was next to the river, so they always had a fresh supply of fish and other wildlife such as moose, deer, rabbits, and waterfowl for meat. The faithful old cow provided milk and calves to sell or raise to butcher. Arne and Matilda were now established in their home, but things were not to come easy for this young couple. There were many hardships to overcome and lots of hard work ahead. But life was better than it had been in Norway. Now they worked for themselves, and their accomplishments were their own gain. This gave them incentive and determination to succeed. After the hay had been put up for the animals, Arne left in the late summer to help with the harvest in North Dakota. This would bring them money with which to buy clothes and other important items, and staples to carry them through the upcoming winter. Arne hated to leave his pregnant wife, especially since the baby was due in August, and he probably would not be home when it came. However, he did not have a choice because they needed the money. Before he left, he asked his mother Ellie to come and stay with Matilda and Campbell. Ellie had been a midwife in Norway, and Arne knew Matilda would be in good hands when the baby decided to come. He would be back as soon as the harvest was over. Early in August, Arne left for North Dakota and would not return until the harvest was complete. How difficult for him this must have been. On August 20th, 1901, their baby girl was born. She weighed 12 pounds and was named Alma Amelia, which was later changed to Emily Alma. Giving birth to a 12-pound baby must have been quite a feat for a petite, slender lady of 100 pounds. No doctor, not anesthetic, and no special facilities such as is available in the delivery rooms of the hospitals today. I was told she would start taking a swig of brandy when the pains began and continued to use the brandy as the pains increased. Perhaps she was quite numb by the time the baby arrived. In view of this, we might conclude that it served the same purpose as an anesthetic. We might also conclude that Matilda was totally out of it after too many swigs. About the same time as Emily was born, their only cow wandered off into the brush surrounded by tall grass. The family was dependent on this cow for her milk. With Matilda still recovering from her labor of childbirth and Campbell being only 7 years old, Ellie couldn't leave them alone to go into the wild in search of the cow. For 3 days, the family lived on sour milk and potatoes. The cow finally came back on her own and probably was very happy to be milked. I'm sure the sweet milk was a big treat for the family after using sour milk for 3 days. After Matilda was able to be up and around, she went to the river where they kept a small boat. She needed to go to the nearest store to buy some staples for her family. Tiny as she was able to paddle the boat 7 miles down the river to Duxby, where she could buy the groceries she needed. At that time, Duxby was a small settlement consisting of a store, post office, and schoolhouse. Upon completing her purchase of necessities and checking the post office for a letter from Arne, she piled it all in the boat and paddled the 7 miles back to her family. The distance by sections would be about 4 miles. However, following the curves of the river, it became a total of about 7 miles. When Arne came home following the harvest, he had a lot to do before the snow came. He must put up plenty of wood to last all winter. The potatoes had to be dug and stored where they would not freeze, and he must do some hunting while the deer and moose were still nearby. He knew he could freeze the meat when the weather became cold enough. He also must go to the nearest larger town and buy some winter clothing and other things that could not be purchased at the little general store in Duxby. This included things like flour, sugar, yeast, lard, coffee, and spices in large quantities to last until spring. Perhaps he also bought some brandy and other items that were used as medication in the event someone became ill. I'll continue reading from Marcella's story next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.